Well, I'm going to substitute today for Brother John. He's suffering for Jesus in Florida. And no, they went to see their son, his family, in Fort Walton Beach. And that's a beautiful place. The white sands and the beautiful ocean. And the only reason I know that is because Vera and I lived there for a long, long time. Not in Fort Walton, but in Pensacola. And we had a lot of friends there and so forth. So I'm glad they're able to be down there and visit with their son and his wife this weekend, and I think next weekend too. All right.
We're going to go to Disney World.
Well, that's a good deal. Grace needs to go to Disney World. She will enjoy it. Vera and I have gone and taken our kids and all that sort of thing. But nonetheless, it's a nice place to be. It's a real nice place to be. And so anyway, but so I've lived in Ohio and East Texas and South Florida and Middle Florida and top of Florida, and back to Texas. Okay. All right, now let's see. I may open the Bible and use some of these scriptures, but I've got them all written down anyway. So if you don't see me open my Bible, it's simply because I have them written out. Let me just say this. He's not here, and I know he'd embarrass if I said it. But I'm proud of Brother John Downing. He's a godly man. The Lord sent he and his wife our way. We ended up with Noah. But he is a good Sunday school teacher. And I appreciate him teaching this class. And so I'm going to just start. And we'll, is there anyone here who needs a book? There may be still some up here. Yes, there's a couple. Who needs one?
I want one, if there's
none. Okay. You want one too?
No,
you can look on hers. Who needs one? Who else needs one? You need one? Okay. I saw another one sitting there. That's the reason I said that. Sitting there, laying there, standing there. Okay. All right, we're going to talk about developing friends. Now, I don't know how you develop friends unless you're friendly. Friendly. We must be friendly. The way we learn the principles of friendship is as a child. By growing up in a home where mom and dad have friends. And you know, a lot of times people don't get that privilege of growing up in a home where mom and dad have friends. Unfortunately, in this world, there are many people who all they do is, they can be friendly to some people. And then when they get home, they just have them for lunch. You know, it's not a good thing. That's not friends. That's not friendship. But thank the Lord, the Bible tells us what it's all about. If a person is a backbiter and a slanderer of their friends, when their children are listening, then the children are going to end up being the same way when they grow up, because they don't think any different than that. The children are just... they portray their mom and their dad when it comes the way that a person ought to live. And if they do something that they ought not to do, then the children think it's all right to do it too when they get old enough to do their thing their way. And so we're talking here about friendship. And so doing the way of the terrible is the wrong way. But what I want to talk about this morning is the right way. We may enter into the wrong way again, but the lesson aims are these. Friendship begins with God And it's a precious gift from God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I guess a sister too, or a sister. A brethren or a sister. Anyway, whatever. But the Lord is our friend. And so we need to determine to establish true friendships built upon the Lord, built upon the Word of God, doing what's right. Sometimes, we don't always understand that true friendship is demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us to be friendly. We need to demonstrate our love of Christ in our friendships. It doesn't mean that we ought to preach to people all the time. Sometimes we have friends and they don't believe exactly like we do, or they don't do exactly what we think they ought to do. And we're not to just be preaching at them all the time. The preacher preaches in church. And we need to be an example of the believer in word and conversation and so forth. All these things help us be what we ought to be. And if a person is friendly and they have a smile on their face, someone may say something to them that is out of sorts or make fun of them. But if they will keep their calm and trust in the Lord, they may win over some person because of their friendship. There's a lot of people got saved because of the friendship of a friend. Not a friend that is not a friend when they're not there, but a friend that is there all the time. There should be a connection between family and friendship. The application here is to seek to make our home where true friendship is demonstrated and developed. A home is a place where true friendship is found, where true friendship is exemplified, where it is taught. We need to be a friend. And it's wonderful to have friends, isn't it? Isn't it sad when you find somebody and they said, I don't have a friend in this world. I've heard that a few times during my lifetime. And it's all because of maybe the family they grew up in and the reputation that they had and all that sort of thing. And people just stay away from them. And it's not because they don't want to be friends with people, but then that person has no opportunity to be the kind of a friend. A true friend loves at all times and looks to the place where he might encourage others. You know, a friend, if we're friends, we ought to be an encourager. A lot of times people seize an opportunity to be a friend, especially in a time of adversity. Most of the time, or a lot of the time, we know people who need to be a friend, who need to have a friend. And we can apply our friendship to those people. Now, and we'll get into it a little later in the lesson, but sometimes if we try to be a friend to someone who will not be a friend, someone who's always in trouble, we'll get to that point in just a few minutes. But let me say this. We can be a friend. Who likes a sourpuss? Anybody here? Anybody here who likes to see somebody and they just turn their head and go on? And a lot of times it's because they think they're better than somebody else. They do not want to be a friend. They don't want to have a friend. They want something to complain about all the time. And I'd rather be a friend than be a complainer. So we need to see a true friend through love and maintain a sweet spirit in their presence. Here's the application. Speak the truth in love, even though it hurts sometimes. You know, sometimes when we find someone and you know that they don't have many friends, you can be a friend. A friend indeed Not a friend in need. A friend indeed to a friend in need. True friendship can't be built on deceit. And certainly we know that. We can't deceive someone. We do not need to take the attitude, well, I'm going to be a friend to them when I'm around them, but I'm going to talk about them when I'm gone. I'm not going to be their friend, but I want them to think I'm their friend. But we need to be a friend. So it's developing friendships is what the lesson is called. And it says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. One of the most important matters in the Christian life is realizing that friendship is one of God's gifts to us. The Lord wants us to be friendly. And certainly, we need to be friendly as God will allow us to be friendly. Our Lord took total strangers in His loving heart and made them His friends. And I want us to look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse, beginning in verse number 10. John 15, 10 through 15. And this is what I'm talking about. The Lord took a total stranger and made a friend out of him. Beginning in verse number 10 of John 15. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for what? His friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Friends share. God gave that ability of friendship to His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us the ability to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's mentioned three times here about friendship, friends, in just these verses, and there are many other verses we're going to get to. And He said, I have called you friends. I know when I was a kid growing up, we used to have to walk to school. I thought it was about 10 miles. It was probably a mile and a half. But seemingly, you know, I didn't measure or anything like that. But you know, we would be walking to school and walking back home. And sometimes we'd get in fights on the way back home. We didn't get in fights on the way to school because we didn't have time to. But on the way back home, sometimes somebody would say something and somebody would snide you. And they'd make you think they were your friends. And then they'd say something about you so you could hear it to somebody else and get in a fight. I got in several fights growing up on the way home from school just because somebody, I had a bad temper before I got saved. I still got one, but not a bad one, you know. But anyway, I let it go. I let it rip. I could beat up a big guy when I was little. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying if I lost my temper, look out. But that was sometimes with some of my friends, so to speak. Now I can look back and they were my friends, but they were just like I was. You know, they wanted the attention of somebody else. But we need to realize that Jesus said, I have called you friends. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus is our friend? Amen. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, brothers get in fights, but they still love one another. In fact, they're like this most of the time. But Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Friendship is more precious than we can even imagine. It begins with God. Friendship begins with God. He is working The friends He sends us is a gift from God. I want us to notice James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The friend that He sends us is a gift from God. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members, body parts, in other words? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. That's not a little girl. That's wrongfully. You ask wrongfully, that you may consume it upon your lusts. But look at verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is at enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But remember what it said here. Friendship of the world is hostility or enmity with God. But God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, the world's empty. Most people in the world, they want something that they either can't have or they have to work hard to get what they think they need or want. The world is empty if God is not in their lifestyle. In other words, the world is empty with God if it's more important than He is. If we have something that's more important than the Lord, we have something that's more important than being a Christian, we have something that's more important than loving people and being a friend to people, then that's the worst thing that we can be. And the worst thing we can have. The trust, the truest friendship must begin with the Lord. I really didn't think about that too much until I started studying this lesson. I just thought about, you know, you need to be friendly to people even if they're not friendly to you, and so on and so forth. And your mom and your dad had friends, and your kin folks have friends, and sometimes they're closer to their friends than you are because you hadn't around them much and all that sort of thing. But the truest friendship must begin with the Lord. If we love the world more than we love God, we're on the losing end. In Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. I'll have to turn to that one. I don't have it marked. Psalm 41 and verse number 9. And this is what it says. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I might may requite them. And that simply means reward them or pay them back. Well, we don't need to get back at people. We just need to realize that sometimes our friends forsake us. And we should not let that keep us down, because we need to be a friend. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, we develop friendship. The Lord Jesus Christ and friendship, they go hand in hand. Jesus called disciples unto Himself. Then He sent them out to preach. It said, the verses that we read a while ago talked about Jesus being a friend to the strangers. And they loved Him because He loved them. He loved them the most. I remember, you ever see a mama or a daddy talking to little bitty kids? I love you the most. Well, Jesus loves us the most. And I know that's true. I love Jesus, but I don't love Him as much as I should. And I do love Him. But I can't ever love Him like He loves me. I love my wife. and I thank God for her. Love is a very important word in our life. If we exercise L-O-V-E, love, I'm not talking about something that's ooey-gooey. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that is honest from the heart. We love people with all of our heart. We love God with all of our heart. And that's what we're supposed to do. Jesus called His disciples unto Himself. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, "And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, and that He might send them forth to preach." Jesus taught them how to preach. They were His friends. Jesus sent them out to preach. What did they go out to preach? They went out to preach about Jesus Christ. They went out to preach about being saved. They went out to preach about heaven and hell and all the things that need to be preached. We are called to Him to abide in Him. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and be done unto you. So we need to abide in Christ. To abide means to take up our residence. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be in our heart all the time. And then secondly, not only abide in Him, but we need to love Him. Love is a very important facet of our life. But we need to love Him supremely. Then we need to love our spouse and our children and our family and our church and our friends. And you can just name it. We need to love. Not lust, love. And then we need to obey Him. Obey Him. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, the Bible said. Obey Him. Obey Him. Do what He wants us to do. Somebody says, "Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do." You ever heard anybody say that? Mm-hmm. Well, people may not just out and say that about the Lord, but they act like it sometimes. We ought not to act like it. We ought to be glad that we can serve Him, that we can put Him first, that He can be the person in our life that makes us operate, that makes us tick, that we ought to love the Lord because He first loved us. If these things are not in our proper place, the proper place in our lives, everything else will be out of place in our lives. Let me say it again. If these things, abide in Him, love Him, obey Him, if these things are not in the proper place in our lives, everything else will be out of place in our lives. He needs to be first. That doesn't mean that we're going around preaching to people all the time and trying to make them feel bad. They ought to feel good, but sometimes, you know, we just like to tell people, make them think that we're better than they are. That's not the way a Christian acts. That's not a way a Christian speaks. But that's the way a Christian ought to live, so that people can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, the Bible said. Here's a note. The pastor of a church is called first. And this was in the booklet that we was reading and studying up for the lesson. The pastor of a church is called first to be with Christ. And here's an illustration. Some churches, when looking for a pastor, are looking for a promoter. Or they're looking for a communicator. But they ought to be looking for a shepherd. And if they get the shepherd, they'll get the other things that go along with it. But the shepherd ought to be, you know, a preacher ought to love his people. A pastor ought to be available to his folks. And that's what it's all about. Every shepherd is a leader. Every shepherd is a leader. If you're not a leader, you're not a shepherd. And that's the way it ought to be. The shepherd guides his people to God. just like a shepherd leads his sheep into the sheepfold. You know, here's an illustration, but in the Bible country, and I don't know how much it is today, but I know years ago when I was in seminary, and that's been 100 years ago, they were telling us about how people took care of things in that part of the country. And they would have a place roped off or fixed off for the sheep to stay in at night. And the opening of the gate, or the opening of the door, there wasn't a gate, the opening of the door where the sheep were called in at night for the shepherd to protect them, he would lay down across that opening to keep the wolves out. And that's what a preacher ought to do. He ought to do everything he could to protect his sheep, to keep the wolves out. And you know, when we preach sometimes, people don't understand what we're saying, but you know, we need to care for our folks. And so on. Anyway, every shepherd is a leader. The shepherd guides his people to God. And the Bible is for all of God's people. It's for everybody. You know, we, in the society in which we live in now, there's a lot of people that don't care anything about God or care anything. They think that, you know, it's just something that came along and people swallowed it up and all that kind of thing. I've heard all kinds of stories about the Bible. It's just another book. It's the book of books. Thank God for it. The link between friendship and the family is another thing that I want to talk about. Proverbs 27:10. It's in your notes. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. That's Proverbs 27:10. Children have friends that become friends in adulthood. But children learn from their examples of moms and dads. They have seen their parents' friends and how they treat their friends, and vice versa. One of the saddest things in life is being disappointed by someone considered to be a friend, and they do not act friendly towards you for some particular reason. Our friends help us raise our children by example. The place to learn the principles of friendship is as a child watching his mother and his father treat their friends as a person treats a friend. And how many parents sometimes get mad even at a friend and cuss them out or chew them out or whatever. That ought not to be. Backbiting and slandering our friends in the presence of our children will damage the children. And then they will do the same thing when they grow up. When this is not the case, shows your children how to have life and long friendships. So when a person is a friend that they ought to be, then the children will be friends when they ought to be. The lesson learned in friendship is it's found in the Bible. Not just teaching, but training. There's a lot of difference between teaching and training. Our home is more than a teaching place. It's a training place. It's teaching them how to live. Teaching them how to live. The how to live is the training place. Proverbs 17:17 said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. True friendship loves through the tough times and the good times. You know, we don't live in a bed of roses. I mean, we have difficult times and tough times. But we love the Lord enough that we ought to continue on being what He would have us to be. Friendship begins with being friendly. Proverbs 18:24. Those are in your booklet. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who knows who that is?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's right. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Call on Jesus, your friend, when you need Him. He'll never leave you. He has time for you, 24/7. Teach these truths to your children. Teach them to love the Lord. Teach them to talk to the Lord. Friendship is never to be made with angry people. Don't be a friend to someone who is always on the angry side of things. Proverbs 22:24 said, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." That's what the Bible said. That's not what I said. That's not me giving you good advice. That's me telling you what the Bible said. And so we need to keep up with that. Here's an example. This is an example I read out of the book that we go by. Your son has a friend who's angry at someone. He flies off the handle often. But it's overlooked. In other words, nothing's ever said about it. Then one day he gets angry to the point of doing something foolish. He says bad languages and says things that he shouldn't say and does things that he shouldn't do. And he ends up in prison because of furiousness, because he's done something that he shouldn't do, all at the point of anger. He may be a friend, but when a furious person tries to get even, it causes a disaster. Moving with violence. So we ought to pray. If we have a friend and he ends up in the bad way of life, we ought to pray for him, but we don't need to run with him. I know when I was a teenager, I had a couple buddies that I walked home from school with, and they was always getting into trouble. But they wanted to go out to the quarry one night, it was all against the rules, and jump into the water. And I wanted to go with them. And Mama made me tell her where we was going, and I told her and I wasn't going. And I was angry. My buddies are doing it, and they do it, and they have a good time, and I want to have a good time, you know, that kind of stuff back and forth. I had a friend, and he was always getting into trouble. And he decided he was going to see how high he could get up on that electric pole. That big, not just the pole, but the whole 9 yards. I went to his funeral. His eyes were bugged out. He got electrocuted. You see, you don't always have to do something. Because if you're my friend, you don't have to do those things. But we need to be friendly to people who are friendly to us. And we need to try to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Friendship speaks the truth in love, even though it hurts. Proverbs 27:6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." We need to tell the truth to somebody if they're our friend. We don't need to try to just ignore it. Be truthful, even though it might hurt. Dr. Sexton, who wrote the book that we're studying out of and getting the points from, said he told a friend to be truthful, to back off not speaking to a friend's daughter. He had a friend, and the friend got angry with his daughter, and he wouldn't speak to her. And he finally told him, he said, "You go up and hug your daughter. Tell her you love her." And he did, and she straightened up. You know, so those are things we need to do. We need to be right. In other words, the point there was not the man hugging his daughter so much as Dr. Sexton talking to his friend that he needed to go hug his daughter. Dr. Sexton, the first time I read it, I thought it meant Dr. Sexton went and hugged his daughter. No, the daddy went and hugged her daughter. So anyway, and we need to love our loved ones. Friendship doesn't deceive. Proverbs 27:6, "The kisses of an enemy are deceitful," the Bible said. People say, "I don't I didn't tell the truth because I didn't want to hurt somebody. That's Satan's way of doing things. Satan's chief weapon is deceit. Tell the truth, even if it hurts. Don't be deceitful. Don't tell somebody a lie because you don't want to hurt them. Tell them the truth and do it in a kind way. Deceit is saying one thing and having something else in your heart. We must deal with our own issue before we deal with those of others. And then the next point. Friendship keeps a sweet spirit. In Proverbs 27, I want to go back over there again. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 27, I'll get that in a little bit. Proverbs 27, I had it marked. No, I didn't. Okay, I'm getting to it. Proverbs 27, 9 and 10. I should have marked it. It wouldn't have taken as long. All right, here it is. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by a hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. And so we need to realize what we're talking about here. Our words fall on deaf ears if given in the wrong spirit. We don't need to have the wrong spirit when we talk to someone. Friendship keeps family friends as much as possible. In Proverbs 27, again in verse number 10, it tells us here, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. So we need to keep that verse in mind. Extended families become loving relationships. When somebody gets married, they're married into a different family, and vice versa. Sometimes there's a lot of people in those families. But we need to be friends, and we need to learn how to be friends. Work at keeping family friendships. And then friendship uses discretion. Discretion. Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice riseth early in the morning. Rising early in the morning, it shall be accounted a curse to him. Now that's a strange proverb. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. In other words, we need to use discretion. We need to speak plainly, but not loudly. You know, when people holler and scream and all that kind of thing, that doesn't gain anything. And so on. Parents ought not to allow their children to scream and holler. And this is the next point. Here's what they ought to do. They ought to speak properly. They ought to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. Thank you, please. Teach our kids to be that kind of a person. Don't depend on the schools to teach these principles. Do it at home. Friendship will make a better person out of you. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So therefore we must be a help to one another by sharpening one another. Our friends make us better than we are without them. Friendship is a wonderful, precious gift. So there will have another lesson next Sunday, but thank the Lord that we can learn to be friends, the kind of friends that the Lord would help us to have. And it's in your book there, and I added a little bit to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. I pray that you would now help us as we go into the preaching service today. Lead, guide, and direct in all things in Christ's name. Help us to be a good friend. In Jesus' name, amen.